Hello, I'm Guy Foster, and in this episode of the Bruin Podcast, we're going to be focusing on China, the brightest spot in the market and economic world during 2020. But bear in mind, we can't guarantee sources from outside Bruindolf, and tax legislation and allowances can change. And remember that when investing, your capital's at risk. Investment values can increase or decrease because the currency fluctuations and future performance can differ from that of the past. Now let's hear from this week's guest, who is Anthony Wong from Allianz, and someone who knows more than anyone about China and its domestic equity market. Hello everybody, and welcome to another Bruin podcast. So there has been one area of the world in this challenging year that has seen perhaps some of the most exciting gains and some of the most resilient economic performance, and that has been that's been China. And so we're really pleased that we're going to be having this conversation with co-lead portfolio manager of the Allianz China A-share, Anthony Wong. So Anthony, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for sharing your time with us. If we could start off by talking about just the different kinds of ways of investing in China. Obviously, the name of your fund is the Allianz China A-share fund. So, I mean, how does that set it aside from some of the other China funds and ways of investing in China that people might be familiar with?
I think unlike many of the more conventional China equity funds, our China A-share fund is a pure exposure to the China A-share market, which means the onshore market in mainland China. All the stocks that we invest in are listed in either Shanghai or Shenzhen Stock Exchange in mainland China. So we do not invest in stocks listed in the offshore markets like Hong Kong or the US.
Okay, and so that's, I mean, some of the most high profile Chinese companies are listed in, for example, the US and Hong Kong. So what kind of companies do we see listed in this market that you're investing in?
I would say the China A market, if we compare it with the offshore market, it is very broad and diversified. So it offers very diversified industry exposure. I would say there's a high exposure to the young and high growth companies in general. Unlike the offshore market, the China A market also offer a high exposure to the so-called new economy industries. Some examples would be like consumer services, high-end consumer brands, medical service and devices, electric vehicle value chain, industrial automation, and also the environmental monitoring and protection.
And are these companies, would they fit into the category of being state-owned or state-influenced? What's the role of the state in the Chinese equity market?
If we talk about the China A-share market, I would say the A-share market is still, there's still a significant part of the market represented by the state-owned enterprise. But if we look at the benchmark index, MSCI China A Onshore Index, state-owned enterprise account for around 46% of the benchmark. But this is on a downward trend. So increasingly, we are seeing more non-state-owned enterprise in the China A-share market. And in our portfolio, the exposure in the China A market, the state-owned enterprise segment is even lower than the benchmark.
Is that a common thing? I mean, would it be fair to say then that the best opportunities tend to be outside of the state-owned enterprise area?
I would say so, but it really depends, because in China, what the regulator is trying to promote is SOE reform, the state-owned enterprise reform. So for some of the mega cap state-owned enterprise, if they are in the so-called strategically important industries like financials, energy, or telecommunication, then what the Chinese government is trying to do is to maintain tight control. But on the other hand, for some of the non-strategically important industries like technology, healthcare, or consumer, then the government is promoting a lot of SOE reform and also allowing them to sell a majority stake to some private companies. so-called the mixed ownership reform. And in these industries, we are seeing more and more market-oriented state-owned enterprise. And as a portfolio manager, we are happy to invest in those SOE that have already introduced the reform. And some of them even have a management team share incentive scheme. So the management team also own a stake in the company. So that makes their interest align with minority shareholders like us.
So when, with regard to those strategically important industries, I mean, presumably there are some ways in which the state's interests are aligned with shareholders and some ways in which the state's interests are misaligned with shareholders.
Possible. Say, for example, if we are talking about some of the financial institutions, energy company, then maybe they also have other responsibility, or they have to perform some national services like ensuring the energy safety, or promoting or offering employment opportunities for the overall economy. So that may not be beneficial to the profitability or earnings growth of the company. So as you said, it may not be exactly in line with minority shareholders' interests.
So what are the special considerations then that you need to take into account when investing in A shares? As may, you know, if you're able to sort of see it from our perspective of the way that we might invest elsewhere, what do you need to do differently when you're investing in the A share market?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Actually, China A is very different from the rest of the world. If you look at the correlation with other equity market, is very low. And China A, I would say, is still pretty much an emerging market. And it is dominated by the domestic retail investors. So therefore, we have been seeing high share price volatilities and also very frequent sector rotations in the A share market. So when we manage portfolios investing in the China A market, we adopt a more disciplined approach for portfolio construction in order to reduce the impact of some of the non-fundamental factors like sector rotations or swing of investment sentiment. And in addition to that, there are over 4,000 names listed in the China A market. And this investment universe also include, as you would expect, some very some poor quality names and also the inefficient state-owned enterprise. So as a portfolio manager, we need to be very selective. And I would suggest to adopt an active strategy when we invest in the China A share market. And when we talk about China A shares, they are always concerned about quality. So we are paying particular attention to the quality of the stocks that we analyze and invest in. So aspects like management integrity, corporate governance, and disclosure are very important. The bottom line is we would rather miss an opportunity than exposing ourselves to unnecessary risk. So in this area, we have a specific team of so-called grassroots research analysts, which is a team of local reporters or industry experts to help us to collect unbiased information from different industry or from the real economy. So that helps us to avoid some of the corporate governance issue or transparency issue in the China A share market.
Okay. And I mean, historically, I think it's been difficult for foreign investors to be able to get access to this A share market. So can you talk a little bit about how that's changed, how you've been able to do it, why you are, I think, one of relatively few fund managers who are able to offer a route into this market?
In the past, foreign investors need a QFII quota and status, the qualified foreign institutional investor status and quota, in order to access the China A share market. But now QFII is no longer a must after the launch of the Stock Connect arrangement 6 years ago. So now no pre-approved status is required, and there's also no restrictions on capital repatriation. So we are utilizing the Stock Connect arrangement for us to gain access to the China A-share market now. The majority of our fund is invested under the Stock Connect, and right now we only have a very small exposure still under the QFII scheme, roughly below 3% of the AUM. So the majority of the fund is through Stock Connect.
And so does that mean essentially that foreign investors have as much opportunity as they want now to enter this market?
As long as foreign investors are investing in the list of stocks that are eligible under the Stock Connect arrangement, then it's pretty much a free market for them to go in and get out. But not all the 4,000 names in the China A market are eligible under the Stock Connect right now. If you talk about the market cap, I think it's close to 90% of the total market cap is accessible to foreign investors right now.
Okay, and obviously the Chinese shares have performed extremely well over the last few years. Has foreign investors been a big part of that? It's obviously also been a relatively good economic performance as well. So have foreign investors been a big part of that that strong performance from the market?
I think it's part of the reason. If we look at the investor base in the China A share market, it is still dominated by the retail individuals. In general, about 80% of the daily turnover is still coming from the retail investors. And foreign institutional investors only account for around 5% of the daily turnover. So it's not a major force, but it provides a steady structural inflows into the China A-share market, which in turn also have a positive impact on the sentiment of the domestic retail investor, because they now understand that there will be a steady structural inflows into the A market, and many of these foreign inflows are focusing on the quality growth stocks.
You talked, we talked a bit about the sort of varying motivations that that you might have with state-owned enterprises, but just generally, I think people are always concerned about corporate governance in the emerging markets in China, you know, to varying degrees. So, I mean, what can you tell us about the standard of corporate governance and that is prevalent in the A-share market?
I think it is still not yet up to the global standard. As I've said, China A is still an emerging market, but it is catching up very fast. Actually, after the launch of the Stock Connect arrangement, we have been seeing rising participation by foreign institutional investors in the A-share market. And that has been helping the development of, or at least the standard of ESG and corporate governance for many China A-shares. In fact, one development is we have been seeing the management of the China A-share, especially the non-state-owned enterprise, are becoming more motivated and very much market-oriented. And as I've mentioned earlier, many employees in general, they have very clear KPIs and incentives, and while top management usually own a stake in the company. So all this help the disclosure and also corporate governance of the of China A shares. And regarding the state-owned enterprise, I would say it depends. For those non-strategically important industries, those state-owned enterprises are also improving very quickly. And when we talk to company management in the A-share market, I also realize that many of them start to see the benefits of having more foreign investors as their long-term investor or shareholders. Because in the past, many of the retail investors, they tend to hold the stock for a very short period of time only. But for foreign investors, we are usually there for a long period of time. So it makes sense for them to have more frequent communication with the overseas investor community, and that has also helped them to improve on ESG front.
Okay, and that's interesting. So you talked about the need to be quite an active investor in China. Are there still some companies that you have got, you know, long-standing holdings in then?
We do, actually. I would say maybe I can also talk a little bit about our selection criteria. So basically, we pick quality growth names. So high growth companies delivering fast EPS growth. But at the same time, we also pick stock with good corporate governance, good transparency, and management incentive. But at the same time, we also pay attention to the valuation of the stocks that we own. If the share price hit our target price, then we'll also take profit from them and trim our position and switch into other new ideas in the A-share market. Some of the names that we own in the portfolio, we have been holding them for 3 years or even longer. There are some core holdings in our portfolio. But some other names that may be more like not exactly trading ideas, but the industry dynamics are less stable or the visibility is lower, then we'll have to be more active or dynamic when we adjust our portfolio sizing for those names.
Well, it'd be great to hear. I think we'll talk a bit about that in just a moment. Karen, could you give us a few examples of some of the more sort of core holdings that you've had?
We do own some of the names like home appliances producers like Midea, which has been in the portfolio for a long period of time. This is one of the largest home appliances brand owners and producers, and they are also expanding to overseas market. And within consumer space, we also own the China Tourism Group, which is a duty-free shop operator in mainland China. So they are benefiting from the domestic tourism boom. And obviously, in other space like the industrials areas, we do have some exposure to the EV, electric vehicle value chain. So we own the largest EV battery producers, CATL, and also some other clean energy related companies that are involved in the solar energy space, like Tongwei, and also some of the EV battery material stocks providing lithium or producing lithium in the China market. So these are just some of the examples that they are riding on the structural transformation or the future growth area of the Chinese economy.
Okay, and then, I mean, so then perhaps some of the, you know, in relation to some of the more cyclical names then, or the ones with less transparency, I mean, when we look at the Chinese market at large, it sometimes seems quite responsive to the sort of particular economic or political events in China. So is that something that you have to take into account when you're investing?
That is true. Actually, we have to be conscious about the investor behavior in the A-share market. And you're right that the market sometimes seems to be quite responsive to the macro or political situation in China. So our observation or comments is that China, to a certain extent, remains a planned economy. So at least in certain areas or segments of the economy, the government and regulator are quite active. And this is also partly, the high responsiveness is also partly due to the investor base. As I've said, 80% of the turnover is coming from retail investor, and they tend to follow the crowd and react to headline news. So in view of that, when we manage our portfolio, we try to reduce the non-fundamental factors in our portfolio. We do not take market timing. We do not make aggressive top-down sector allocation bet, but instead we only focus on bottom-up stock selection and control our sector deviations within a plus or minus 5%. By focusing only on the stock, picking the relatively better names in an industry that we believe can outperform their industry peers. By doing so, we are putting more emphasis and focus on the business model, the growth outlook, and the people running the business. And we do not have to worry about or expose ourselves to unnecessary risk in those sector or macro factors.
One of the things we discussed a bit earlier, Anthony, was the ability of foreign investors to buy A shares. Obviously, that has a knock-on impact for the index providers, which have been upping their allocations to China. How important is that as a theme going forwards?
It's really important. I would say index inclusion is one of the major reasons for global investors' allocation to China A shares. I can also share with you my own experience. In the past, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, China A shares were irrelevant to most global institutional investors. But now, China A shares are on track to become one-third of the emerging market index. So the direction is very clear, and it's just that the timing may be uncertain. So to most global institutional investors, they all know that China A would become a significant part of the global EM index or their global emerging market strategy or portfolios. So whenever there's any market correction or pullback, it would offer a good entry point or opportunity for them to top up their position in the Asia market just to position ahead of the future increase in index weighting. And talking about further increase in index weighting, it really depends on the opening up of the China Asia market in future, which I think is closely followed or regularly reviewed by the index compilers like MSCI. So if the regulator decided to further open up the China Asia market, say for example, by increasing the quota limit or by offering more hedging vehicles for investors in the Asia market, then that would help or also make it easier for the index compilers to increase the weighting of China A-shares in the benchmarks.
Okay, well, look, I mean, that's been really useful, but I think we are slightly running out of time. So I think just, my final question, I think when reading some of the commentators on China, the trend towards financial liberalization, in some views, seems to have stalled a bit. So I'd just be interested in your perspective on whether this is something that's going to keep happening.
Mm-hmm. Financial reform and capital market liberalization are ongoing, and the direction hasn't changed. Just that the progress may become a little bit slower when economic growth is under threat, like back in 2019 and also this year. I always believe that the policy objective of the Chinese government and the regulators is to strike a balance between promoting economic growth and also promoting a structural reform for the Chinese economy. So when economic growth is uncertain, like in 2018, 2019, and this year, the focus was on supporting the downside, supporting economic growth, protecting the downside risk of the economy. But if going into next year, when the Chinese economy is stabilizing, is recovering, then hopefully we should see a shift back to reform. So probably the government would put more emphasis on eliminating excess or inefficient capacity or deleveraging. So I'm just saying going into next year, if we are seeing a steady recovery in the Chinese economy, then hopefully the policy focus would shift back to promoting structural reform like deleveraging and also eliminating excess capacity. And that would help to reduce the risk in the Chinese stock market and support a future re-rating, like PE multiple expansion in China A-share market.
Okay, look, that's great. Thank you so much for taking us through that. I found it really interesting. I'm sure our listeners have as well. And thank you to our listeners. Hopefully you have enjoyed this podcast, and we really hope you'll join us again on the next edition of the Bruin Podcast.
Thank you very much.